Welcome back to what could be the last half hour of After Hours for this year, depending on football things. Well, Dennis, I have Dennis DeYoung on. There's no better way to do it. He is a great friend of mine. There are very few people on this planet I admire more than you. And you just told my producer, Ben, that I owe you $50 from 1984. Really?
You probably don't. You know, that was...
I don't remember what day it is, but go ahead.
Yeah, that was during your degenerate gambling days, of course, you were late on the VIG for a year, and I thought, well, the heck with it. He's just not paying this guy.
How are you? How are you coping?
I sent a search party out, and they said, where should we go? I said, well, either try Rick's Cafe. No, I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. Listen, I want you to know this will be your lowest rated show of all time, and I don't.
Oh, that's hey, in a weird way, that's a very high bar, man, to reach the lowest rated show here. How are you in this COVID time? We talked not long ago, and it just we're both kind of like, oh God, I want to get out and do something other than go to the grocery store. You doing anything besides going to the grocery store?
Yeah, we ventured out the other day, and I took her to the doctor's, my wife, Susanna.
Yeah.
How long have we been married, Susanna? 80 years? Yeah, no, just 50. But, yeah, no, listen, we've been in this house, Rick, together since March, just the two of us.
I know.
People have come a couple times. You know, my son comes every once in a while, but I don't trust him. So,
Are there things missing?
No, because he's going to be, he runs around everywhere. He's going to bring the cootie in here. We don't need it. I'm 73. She's going to be 72 next month. And she said, I want 6-foot distancing between us, even in the house, Rick.
Yeah. But thank God it's a big house. That's what I say.
She said even during sex.
That's a challenge, Dennis. That's a challenge.
She told me it's never been better. I don't know. No, look.
I love talking to you. I do. I miss you, too. That's another thing about this.
I know.
About this whole, there's a very interesting thing. You and Tony La Russa became very good friends. Did you not when he was running the Sox?
Oh, yeah.
Genuine, not kind of two celebrities getting together. You guys really became buddies, didn't you?
Well, yeah, we certainly did. Our wives became very good friends.
Yeah.
Our kids. Tony, he has this ARF Foundation, which is an animal
rescue thing, right.
Which is so successful and so huge. He's done such marvelous work with his wife, Elaine, where they've given these dogs, rescue dogs to soldiers suffering from PTSD, and he's in the hospitals with kids. So what happened was he called me up one day. This was 30 years ago.
Wow.
I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
He says, I want to put on a concert. How would I do it? And I just gave him a brief summary how what you should do if you want celebrities is, you ask a bunch and you just ask them to do a song or two,
right.
And they're more apt to come out. And so we've been doing that off and on since, what was it, 90-something? I don't know, in the early 90s. So, yeah, we're very good friends, and I just, we talked on the phone 3 times during this thing, and we discussed politics and world situation, because, our friendship it's been so long that we know each other, and we feel good enough to talk to each other about the situation in the world. And so he's coming back. When I saw that he was up for the job, I thought, well, if he wants it, I think it's his job to turn down. That's what I thought, knowing Jerry Reinsdorf the way I do and his relationship with Tony. These are great friends and really great friends. And so I was ambivalent, Rick, because I've told him when I emailed him, I said, I emailed them in Spanish because I told him he'd better.
You better learn.
You better learn the Cuban accent because you got a lot of them over here and they're great ball players. And so I was ambivalent. I told him congratulations. I hope.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when your friend then as manager, I suffered all those. Anytime the White Sox would lose.
Oh, I know.
Back in the day,
it
just murders you. And I told him, you can come back, but I need your guarantee you're going to win every game. And he said, okay.
Were you, I was confounded, Dennis, and more than a little alarmed at the kind of wicked display of ageism that erupted there. You know, this country's got two guys in their 70s running to be president of the United States. And the anger and vitriol that I saw online and in various commentators about, oh my God, Tony La Russa's 76 years old. Maybe it is because I'm not quite there, but I just found that to be astonishing and more than a bit cruel. Did you?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I wanted to call Tony when I saw he was up for the job.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I didn't, because I know what I would have told him. I would have told him, you know, the whole world has shifted, and not just in terms of the way they play baseball and, you know, that whole attitude about having fun and really, you know, getting into the entertainment business. It wasn't that. It was the idea that social media, which I call anti-social media, for the most part, is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
And everybody who has a device.
Has an opinion.
Yeah, and the sports journalist.
Yeah.
So I've been reading this stuff, and I thought, not only the ageism, you know, they're hanging crepe everywhere I can look.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for my friend. I thought, you know, they're going to bring up, well, he's this, he's that. The thing is, he won every place he ever went.
Yep.
Is he out of touch? No, he's been in. And this is what the disingenuous part. He has been an advisor to the GM in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
He ran the Diamondbacks.
Yep.
And in the last 11 years, and he's he's with the Angels this past year. So, and he's in contact with baseball people all the time. He knows the game. You're never going to find a guy who is a greater competitor or a more intense person about winning.
Exactly.
So I say, look, I would have told him, Tony. Have your eyes wide open before you say yes to this, because the world has changed, and not in a pleasant way. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I agree. But I think, you know, he is a very sophisticated baseball mind. I mean, I've read a few pieces, too, where, you know, people are like, oh, well, the analytics are this and the analytics are that and the technology is this and the technology is that. It's baseball. It's baseball. And I think that, you know, the world has changed in a million different ways. And, you know, who knows? Let's hope there's a COVID vaccine and people can go back to the ballpark, because I certainly know I'm tired of seeing those like ghostly kind of stadiums. But I have no problem with that. And I think I kept thinking to myself, Dennis, that, okay, there's a guy, if he wins on Tuesday, who's going to be 80 and lives, he's going to be 82, and he's going to be the president of the United States of America, where your decisions are a lot more complicated than what inning to put in a reliever. You know what I mean? It's like, it was really something to me. And I thought, I didn't think of you, but I thought of, you know, other friends of mine who are of a certain age and who are where those questions don't arise. Where, yeah, if they hired him to play third base, I'd be really alarmed. But I'm glad he's coming back, and I know he's a dear, dear friend of yours. And
there's a place in baseball for analytics, but as far as I can tell, I've never seen a computer yet win a baseball game.
Same here. You know,
and that thing, I was watching the World Series, and I know Tony La Russa would have never taken that lefty. What's
Snell.
His name? Snell. Yeah. out of that game at that point, because he was just pitching great. When somebody's pitching great, I think you got to ride the horse.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what the computers say. If the guy's, you know, if he's got the face, you see the face?
Yep.
I'm going to do this. This is human beings. You are managing human beings. As a baseball manager, you must understand the emotional makeup of each player and know if that player will rise and fall in any given situation.
Yeah.
So, and no computer can really tell you this. They can tell you, well, you know, when a guy gets to the fifth inning, he throws this many more pitches, to have the hitters do this. But for every time that happens, there will be times.
Of course.
When it doesn't. So I think managing human beings is still about managing human beings.
Well, it's also like being, let's take a break. I want to talk to you, too, about, you know, earlier this year, was it earlier this year when we were talking about all of a sudden someone convinced you to put a song online and all of a sudden, you know, millions of people were watching. I want to talk about that, too. Was it this year or was it late last year?
No, it was during the COVID. It was,
No, let's talk about people, it. I'll try to remember what it is.
You got a commercial?
Yeah, hard to believe, but so your ratings are not going to be the worst ever because we have commercials.
The reason I said that is because you don't know this, but the Bears just went into overtime.
Did they really?
Yeah, they came back. Just tied. The game could be over for all I know right now, yeah. But they tied the Saints, and it's an overtime. But nonetheless, I'll tie the story when we come back.
Okay, and then we can watch the rerun of that. We can watch the highlights. We'll be right back.
I got it on Bevo.
Of course. We'll be right back with Dennis DeYoung. Welcome back. I have 10 minutes with Dennis DeYoung left, and I would love to see you and your family one of these days.
Hold on a second. Somebody wants to say something?
Hi, Rick. It's Suzanne. Say hi to Kate for me.
I will, sweetie.
Take care of you.
I will. You know, I first met Dennis many years ago when a guy comes into the office at the Sun-Times and says, yeah, there's someone wants to talk to you, Rick. I go, okay. And he introduces himself, and he's, this is a very embarrassing story for me. And he goes, I'm Dennis DeYoung. And I go, hi, I'm Rick Gogan. And he goes, yeah, I want to, you know, I read your review of Journey, and I think you really understand music. And how would you like to go on the road with us? And I'm like, sure. I don't know whether the road was to Rockford or to Milwaukee. And so I go back and start doing some research because I don't know who he is. And I realized, oh, my God, this is Styx. And they have three albums on the top 10 of the Billboard chart. We did go on the road and have been friends ever since. Not so much me with the other guys in the band, but what the hell. Did you ever expect, talking about this age thing, Dennis, you were surprised by the popularity. A friend of yours convinced you to post a song earlier this year, and you were, in a word, flabbergasted at the response, weren't you?
Well, somebody went to my Facebook page, and about half a dozen people, and said, Dennis, you know, why don't you please go and sing something from home, because we really need your music to pick up our spirits, because we're pretty much
locked up,
overwhelmed with the COVID thing. And I thought, well, do I have to be like all the other needy celebrities and do this? But anyway, somebody pointed out that the best of times, a song I wrote in 81, when, by the way, you came, about the time you came out on the road with
right.
It, had a lyric that went, you know, people lock their doors and hide inside, and rumor has it, it's the end of paradise, which is, you know, I said, well, in fact, I guess that'll work. So I put my iPad up, expected nothing, on my piano. I put it on a FedEx box to prop it up at the right height, and I played it and sang it. On a piano that was out of tune, because I don't play the grand piano that much in my family room anymore. So
right.
I did it, and I put it up, and then 1,160,000 people went to see it, and I thought it was a mistake at first.
Yeah, I know.
Because I've never had that happen to me. I thought, you know, I'm not Lady Gaga, Rick. I mean,
right.
Lady Gaga! No, I'm not Lady
Thank
Gaga.
Thank God, yeah.
No. Oh, she's great. Anyway. Yeah. So it overwhelmed me. And the thing that was the most overwhelming and poignant was people were so vulnerable at the moment that I did that. They left like 9,000 comments on YouTube.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
I'm sitting here right on the same sofa in my family room where I first started to read the comments. And I had to stop reading them because they choked me up because I saw my name in the sentence, Rick, but I didn't know who they were talking about.
Right.
But they took all that angst and all that fear, and they thanked me so profusely for doing the thing and making them feel better. And I thought to myself, how the hell did I do that? Because, you know, I listen, music is magic. It always has been. It is the greatest of all the arts, no doubt about it, because nobody can understand why when a singer sings a certain note, you get goosebumps.
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly.
I went to the Louvre. I saw the Mona Lisa, right?
Yeah, I said, who are all these people taking pictures of it? Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I looked at it and I went, oh, that's nice. You know what I mean?
But, let's go get lunch, yeah.
And I like literature. I read all the time.
I know.
But music is magic.
Yeah.
And so I've been all these years, I thought, well, I'm just a kid with an accordion from the South Side who did his best to try to make his mother happy. Let's face it, Rick. That's why everybody.
I know. I know. You've told me.
They try to get their approval of their parents. You were doing it. I know it was probably Herman for you.
Sure.
I guess, although I don't know, you wanted to prove to Herman that you could be a newspaper man.
Of course.
Like your illustrious dad was.
Of course.
I wanted to make my mom happy. Yeah. I wanted to just tell me you're a good son. So I started out with this quest to play the accordion, and then the Beatles came on, and I said, I think I'll get that job. And then I formed the band, and boom, this happened to me. All along, Rick, I swear to God, all along, I pretended I knew what I was doing, and I was so convincing that people actually bought into it, and that's the story of my life.
Yeah. You know, on that, whatever they're called, the comments board of the of your song on Facebook or YouTube, wherever it is. And so many people on there, Dennis, were like begging for, and you know this as well as I do, begging for, can't you go on the road one more time? Come on, take one more at bat. The sun's almost down. Do it again. Did you ever give any serious thought to that?
Well, when it happened, I released my most recent album, 26 East.
Yeah. All original stuff, too. Yeah, which is an incredible album, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And so it came out on Monday, and on Wednesday, the WHO, and I don't mean Roger Daltrey, Pete Townsend, they declared a worldwide pandemic.
Yep.
And so I was stuck home here because we had a tour booked.
Oh, of course.
And I, like everybody else, no soap. So, look, when I tell all these people, when they ask me, oh, Dennis, although people are more understanding now than they were in the beginning, they say,
sure.
Dennis, when are you coming back on the road? I say, well, as far as I can tell, my new tour manager is the CDC.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. Do you miss, Dennis, this is a, you know, I know you were sick for a while under the weather, but do you miss, you have been on the road consistently for a very, very long time. Is there any kind of withdrawal you feel at all? And this is a weird thing for a live performer, because the energy one gets from, you know, for me, it's like I'm sitting at a typewriter or a computer. It's not the same. I mean, I miss people. But for you, it's missing people from whom you get this kind of emotional feedback. Is it been difficult?
Yes, I have been overwhelmed with unadulterated joy that I never have to go to the TSA or be in a town I would never want to visit except for to see my fans. My wife keeps saying, "Oh, you're going to miss it." I kept telling her for the last 10 years, "No, I'm not."
Wow.
But I listen. So here, let me just say this to all my fans who are listening, both of them.
Well, but I'm your biggest fan, so go ahead.
You and Orion Samuelson. So I'm thinking in my mind, I love my fans. I wish they'd move to Chicago so that I could drive downtown to whatever venue. They would come.
Yeah.
They'd stay at the Holiday Inn and get on and deal with the TSA. And I would just drive in my car, play for them, and go home. But no, being on the road has become such a drag for me.
I'll bet.
I know there are people, I know them personally, good friends of mine. They live to be on stage. That's the only time they feel fulfilled.
Alive. Yep.
I feel fulfilled watching the Bears and eating pizza and maybe Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. I'm very happy. But
I'm glad.
I'm going to go back on the road if the cootie allows it, you know, but we have acted so idiotic, so ignorant in this country as to not do the simplest thing, which is simply to to wear a possible life-saving device. And I understand, but nobody likes to do it. I don't like to do it.
Yeah.
But I would have said early on, wear a mask, save a life.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Not yours.
Yeah.
And so now everyone's, now they're going to put on a mask. But I look at it and I think, this is not political to me.
No, of course not. I know that.
I'm telling you, here's the thing. The Cootie does not know the platform for the Democrats or the Republican National Conventions.
Yeah.
Got no idea.
Yep.
Cares nothing about that. And so I just looked at it and I thought, how do we politicize this? We're in trouble if we keep doing this stuff. You know it. We've talked about this.
I know.
And I know it. So I tell everyone who's listening, if you think I have a political preference here, I have one preference. I want everybody who's listening to me and likes my music to stay alive.
Yeah.
That's my only goal. So I
me too. I have a goal.
I can drag my lazy ass out of this house and fight with the TSA and come to your town and play Come Sail Away one more time.
Well,
for
I have a dream, too. I want to see you and Suzanne, and we can go to dinner and talk about the good old days. Dennis, you're a real pal, and you're an incredibly thoughtful guy and a grand talent, and I miss you, and I miss Suzanne, and say hi to the kids for me, will you please?
We miss you so much, because people know, when Rick and I get together, all we do is laugh.
And talk politics, and talk Royko. Dennis, I love you guys. Take care.
Love you, Ricky. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. That was great. I want to thank Ben Anderson for producing, Krista Flores for engineering. As I said, this could be the last time I'm on until 2021. I can't wait for 2021. But if there's some football screw-up, I'll be on. Take good care of yourselves. Be safe. Be well. Good night.